Well, following the Sunday gospel readings for the beginning of our liturgical year is like watching time-lapse photography. We start with 4 weeks anticipating the birth of Jesus. We celebrate his birth. We have the visit of the three kings, which, by the way, didn't happen in the next day or two or even weeks after Jesus' birth. Though, with poetic license, we celebrate their visit as though it were sooner. This week, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Of course, we think, okay, the baby is born, and shortly thereafter, his parents take him to be baptized. Well, that's a neat little story we can conjure up in our minds, but the reality is, Jesus was baptized as an adult. His parents didn't present him for baptism. He went on his own, relatively speaking. So Jesus goes from birth to baptism as an adult in a matter of 20 days. Our liturgical calendar is designed to take us through highs and lows throughout the year. Though we move so fast through the beginning of Jesus' life and ministry that we could get whiplash. I don't know about you, but I like to try to live in the moment, enjoy where I am, and take in what is happening. The commercial world around us doesn't want that to happen. Christmas-related merchandise is out in the Hallmark stores, if any still exist, and other places in August. Summer isn't even over, and they push us months ahead. When we do finally get to Christmas, the stock is changed within days of Christmas Day, which is only the beginning of Christmas, to Valentine's Day. A friend of mine went to the Dollar Tree the week after Christmas and told me there were Easter items out already. If we think we get whiplash from our liturgical readings, our heads are definitely spinning, watching what goes on in the commercial world. In my way of protesting the early presence of Christmas items, I told the manager of the Plant City Hallmark store a few years ago that I would not be in the store between August and November, as I did not want to see Christmas cards and merchandise that time of year. I had gotten to know Pam, the manager, and would see her other places around town. In November or December, whenever I finally went to the store, Pam said, "You weren't kidding, were you?" I assured her I was serious and that I would do the same thing the next year. The following year, I was in the store during the summer, and Pam noted to me that the Christmas ornaments would be out in a few weeks, and she guessed she wouldn't be seeing me in the store for a while. She was right. I just haven't figured out how to boycott all the other areas I interact with so I can avoid the push forward. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift." I use that quote often in my counseling and advice to others. That being said, we remember Jesus' baptism today. If the beginning of today's gospel sounds familiar, it's because we heard it on the third Sunday in Advent. John was foretelling the coming of Jesus and the works he would perform, which would be greater than the ministry of John himself. Many were baptized at the same time as Jesus, but it was after Jesus' baptism, while he was praying, that we are told the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove, and a voice was heard from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." Last week, Deacon Art noted the presence of the triune God found in that verse. The voice of God, the image of the Holy Spirit present to empower Jesus for his life of ministry, and Jesus, the Son, embarking on the work he had been sent to do. We have the presence of the three persons in one God at every baptism. Though we don't hear an audible voice from heaven proclaim, "You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased," I believe God does make that proclamation every time one of us is baptized. With baptism, we are marked, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and claimed as Christ's own forever. Each of us at baptism have been received into the household of God and given the charge to confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with the body of Christ in his eternal priesthood. Just as Jesus started his early ministry after his baptism, we are commissioned into ministry at our baptism. If you have ever said or have heard someone else say, "I don't have a particular ministry," remind them or remember for yourself this charge you were given. You are part of the household of God, and in this house, everyone is called to ministry. I think we sometimes get too caught up in defining a particular ministry. We have all been given the same directive for ministry. Simply put, believe in and love God, share in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers, resist evil, repent when you fall into sin, proclaim the gospel by word and example, love your neighbor as yourself, strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. Anyone recognize those words? Those words are taken from the baptismal covenant. Every time we have a baptism, we all reaffirm the commitment made by us or for us at our own baptism. God is well pleased with each of us. Each of us are beloved by God, and we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in all we do. The past couple of months, I've been part of a small group of people that goes to Dover Elementary School on the first Friday of each month to do a very brief presentation on character traits. This group grew out of the men's group involved in Kids Pack. Dover Elementary School asked Holy Innocents to do these presentations, which will run through the school year. Last year, I believe they were done by the Baptist Church. I was asked to be part of this group in particular because the guys that were going realized that they were all guys. And there are girls sitting in those fifth grade classes too. I went to Dover for the first time in November when the trait to be discussed was service, which made it even more fitting that a female deacon was part of the group. We have approximately 10 minutes with each of the three groups comprised of five fifth grade classes. Not a lot of time to impact a young life, but enough. Bill Cox, who is the coordinator for this project, and I did that particular presentation. The first group didn't respond right away when we asked what examples they could think of when they were of service to someone else. The door was opened when one of the teachers asked the group, "How many of you interpret for your parents or someone else in class?" Hands shot up in the room, as most of them have Spanish-speaking parents, some of whom don't speak or understand English as well as their children. Suddenly, the children had a picture of themselves being of service to someone else. Sometimes we need a little outside help to recognize the difference we make by word and example. As we walked into our third group, there was a little girl sitting about midway in the room. She looked at me with a big smile and gave me a little wave. She did the same thing when I left and said, "Bye." That little girl got to see someone who she could more closely identify with, who was wearing a collar, just like the man, Father Brian, she had seen the month before. That friendly wave I received warmed my heart without saying, and reinforced for me that we are making a difference in the lives of many in the community around us with our local outreach. If you want to know more about this particular ministry, ask Sherry Rothmeyer, Bill Cox, Pete Soto, or Noel Rich. Each of us has the ability to impact the life of other people every day by a kind word, a friendly gesture, or just being totally present to someone. We are not all called to run groups or start some new ministry. We are called to action, to minister by word and example. We are called to strive for justice and peace. Each of you, each of us, has been called to ministry by way of our baptism. Each of us has made a covenant, a promise at baptism, and again at our confirmation. If you look at the Catechism on page 855 of the Book of Common Prayer, you'll see that the ministers of the church are laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. We all share in the ministry of the church. When we do our character trait presentations, we leave behind bookmarks with a description of the trait discussed. To quote part of the bookmark left the day we discussed service, we can see service or ministry in our life or the lives of others by our willingness to voluntarily help others with what they need and respond to the need even before a request is made, or at least helping when a request is made. Ministry, we're all called to.